Let's go back a bit to 1929. The hugely popular John Philip Sousa greets listeners on an NBC broadcast introduced by American composer Deems Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. This is John Philip Sousa, and I'm very glad to be here with my band representing my own country, America, on this international program.
Sousa was a rock star then and will be again on the 4th, as he is every year. You'll hear the Stars and Stripes Forever wherever you go. You might remember we deconstructed the piece with Sousa expert Keith Bryan a few years ago.
In the Stars and Stripes, is all of this light pickup from the bow. It's very natural with an orchestra, not so natural with a band.
In a second visit, Keith dropped the bombshell that John Philip Sousa did not like the 4th of July. What? We want to reprise that conversation today with Keith, a Sousaphile and director and founder of the new Sousa Band, and the force behind a project to record all of Sousa's music for band. Keith is on volume 17 and 18 with about six or so to go. He's also writing a book about Sousa, which is set for publication next year. And I've watched him write it on the porch. Full disclosure, he's a neighbor. We're hoping he'll organize a little march around the block this weekend. Anyway, here's our visit with Keith Bryan. So Sousa, such a part of the 4th of July, but it wasn't that big a part of his life, you say.
No, you know, it's just like Christmas years ago. It was not a big deal. I suppose you could say it's been commercialized, but it's still a great patriotic holiday. However, in Sousa's time, it wasn't observed with the ferocity that it is today.
He was born in 1854, died 1932, just a few years after that recording we just heard. And you looked at all the times that he actually played on the 4th.
About six times. Most notably, in 1900, the first time that he took the Sousa Band to Europe, he played in Paris for the Paris Exposition. And he played this great march, Hail to the Spirit of Liberty, which he wrote for the occasion. Dedicated a statue to Lafayette, and the rest is history.
Like it.
It's fun.
But Keith Bryan, why is it that the Stars and Stripes, do we know, ended up the one that everyone chose to be the song for the 4th, America's Holiday?
He thought that this was going to be that march when he wrote it. He took extra care with it. He wrote it on Christmas Day in 1896 and fooled around with it for 6 months before he allowed the premiere, which was in Philadelphia the following May. Harold Schoenberg, the critic of the New York Times, said it was probably the most perfect piece of American music ever written.
Well, and it did become the official march of the country, decided by
Congress. Yes.
As you said, critical raves. We've listened to the Stars and Stripes with you. We'll link listeners up to that at hearandnow.org, where you show us how he's got, it's like a math puzzle, how he's got all these musical cues in it.
It's brilliant.
What else should we be listening to when we want to listen to something that makes us feel good on the 4th of July from Sousa?
Well, one of the most patriotic ones is the U.S. Field Artillery March, which obviously was written for the field artillery. It was recorded by Sousa during World War I, one of six, only six, that he conducted himself. He actually issued over 1,200 recordings with the Sousa Band, but he never showed up. He didn't really believe in recordings. So there are only six that he was actually the conductor. And this is one of them, the U.S. Field Artillery March.
This recording is you, Keith Bryan, and your new Sousa Band. Let's listen. ¶¶ like to conduct his pieces?
It's wonderful. You know, my dad's business was renting public address systems. And so from the time I was three, he really wasn't interested in music. The only recordings we had in the house were Sousa marches that he put on for political rallies and parades and things in the background. And I would get to go along sometimes when I was 3 and 4 years old and put the needle on the recording. So it was kind of my cradle music. So it's difficult to say all of the reasons why it means something to me, but I grew up around it.
Well, and it's so muscular and percussive, I would think.
Oh, it's terrific.
Yeah. Although you've told us, going back to the Stars and Stripes, it's hard to get it to sound the way Sousa wanted it to because there's a dip in the music, for instance, that people don't want to do today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are all kinds of inflections that were more normal during Sousa's period. To the degree that I can, I try to bring them all back. How short a short note was, how long a long note was. If it had sharps and flats in it that weren't in the key signature, it got a little extra oomph. Mm-hmm. So all of those things are tricks. The snare drum has changed more than any instrument in the orchestra since Sousa was alive. So we have replicas of those old snare drums that we use. It goes on and on, every possible way we can find out.
Hmm. You also told us that Sousa wanted to write marches that would make a man with a wooden leg stand up and dance.
Right.
So give us another one.
Liberty Bell would be good.
Let's listen. It is hard not to stand up and move. I feel like I know this one.
Yeah, well, it was the Monty Python theme.
Oh, of course. What do you think about that, Keith?
I love it. Well, why not?
Well, the fact that Sousa, though so serious about his music and it's got a serious intent, these are patriotic songs, many of them.
Yeah, it's a patriotic title. But it was really a piece that people danced the two-step to.
So people did have fun with Sousa. That was the
point. Of course.
Yeah.
It was about fun. It's very happy music.
So Keith Bryan, as we've learned from you, you travel the world to play with your band in other countries. Sousa's adored in China, in Europe. And you've brought a piece of music that's from the Royal Netherlands Navy, the Marine Band of the Royal Netherlands Navy, Yorktown Centennial. Let's listen. What's it like when you're playing at a hat shell or out on, you know, you can be playing in Iowa? What's it like when you look out on the people?
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, I've done the 4th of July concert in Chicago. To stand there and see a million people is pretty freaky.
And they're teenagers, they're kids in goth, you know.
The works.
What do you think it is? What's the appeal?
I don't know. It's in America, it's a time when everybody lets loose. They've got funny hats on and, you know, they're celebrating.
But it's Sousa. What is it about him, do you think, that unleashes that?
He was patriotic to the core. His dad played in the Marine Band during the Civil War. So he was a little boy during the Civil War, if you can imagine. It just built into his fabric. And later, during World War I, he became a lieutenant commander in the Navy, conducted a Navy band at Great Lakes, marched all over the country for raising money for war bonds. He was forever associated with the military and with Americana and America.
Yeah. Keith Bryan, founder and leader of the new Sousa Band, are revisiting us to just give us some other Sousa to think about on this 4th of July. And Keith, I just have to say, do people tell you, you're starting to look a little like him?
I do hear that. When I believe it, that'll be a problem. But there's an Indian saying about walk a mile in another man's moccasins, and I've done that, and it's profound.
Yeah, and the moccasins belong to John Philip Sousa. So to go out, Keith, let's hear New York Hippodrome. Tell us about that song.
Right. People in New York will know that there's a Hippodrome parking garage. But in fact, the predecessor of Radio City Music Hall was on Avenue of the Americas. where the Hippodrome parking garage is today. Sousa had his offices there, and when he performed in New York, he played there.
And was it called the Hippodrome?
Yeah.
Well, we'll march out to the Hippodrome.
This thing has all of this New York energy in it.
Sousa Vile, Keith Bryan, director and founder of the new Sousa Band. We spoke last July. Happy 4th. It's here and now.